Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together, we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into kingdom pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
Well, you'd like to think that it was Robbie Dillmore, but you're not quite that fortunate. You've got Bill Mixon here. Robbie is on a well-earned family vacation, and we pray that they have a wonderful time. He's given me the opportunity to step in and to share with you some friends of mine and a couple of situations that I'd like you to know about. We've got Diane with us, and Diane is here with her friend Claudia, and they are working with something called drug courts. And then I've got Gloria Korn with us, who's a dear friend of mine. She's in the auxiliary with the Gideons, and she's set up a really neat program praying for our local police department and our community, and once a month goes to the city police department and has a whole bunch of people that join her. Tell us a little bit about the police circle.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. And I love talking about the police circle and the first responders. We do it once a month. Usually it's the second Sunday from 3 to 4, regardless of the weather, unless there's ice and snow in the wintertime, we cancel those. But even in the rain and the shine and the heat and the cold, we meet together. We've had anywhere from 2 people to over 300, and it just depends on the situation, what's going on, the weather. God laid that on my heart. Next month in August, it'll be 3 years he laid it on my heart to do this.
Now, I have been a few times, and there have been 20, 30, 40 people. What do you think your biggest audience has been?
The biggest audience was 2 years ago, this July, 2016. And unfortunately, it followed the Dallas policemen that were shot that week, and then I think 3 New Orleans police officers were shot that Sunday morning. And we had a huge turnout. It was over 300, and it was phenomenal.
And I love how the group prays for the officers and that they get home safe, and they pray for the people that the officers come in contact with, that our community has a peace about it, that everything is safe and that all people get home, and that the contacts between the officers and those that they deal with go well. And I know there are a lot of officers I've talked to that really appreciate that. Now, a lot of times those officers bump into young people that, like myself or my son at one time, were doing things in public that they really shouldn't have, and got in a little bit of trouble, and it turned out that that trouble got a whole lot bigger. And they ended up going before a regular court, and I heard about something called a drug court. And Diane, would you tell us a little bit about what a drug court is?
Yes. Well, Forsyth County used to have a drug court, and it was cut by state budget cuts, cut it in 2011. And Carrie Siegler is an attorney here in Winston-Salem, and she was a public defender in the Forsyth County system, and she was seeing the opioid crisis firsthand while representing an addicted population of criminal defendants. Most of her clients have been become addicted to legitimately prescribed drugs. So they became addicted to pain pills. Well, after those ran out, then they turned to heroin and illegal drugs. Well, she saw lives destroyed, and there were more than one time that she would go to court and have to explain why her client wasn't there because they had fatally overdosed the night before.
Well, yeah, I know that with the drug courts, they deal with all kinds of different types of drugs, and I was surprised to find out that there are an awful lot of young people that are addicted to prescription drugs.
Correct.
And that a lot of times that a lot of people become addicted from a prescription that they had, and they start taking it, they're not supervised as well as they could be, or they just take a lot more than they should. But there are a lot of people that get addicted while they're on an actual prescription for themselves.
And that's what led Carrie a lot to begin Phoenix Rising, because that was what she saw was happening. And being an attorney, our board consists of a variety of attorneys, and then Claudia is here, who's a board member, who will speak in just a minute. But the way, I just want to explain very quickly how drug court works. It, when you're convicted of a crime, your attorney has to recommend you for drug court. And then, so then Carrie, who is in private practice now, but she represents the drug court participants pro bono. But Judge Lawrence Fine, who is amazing, the treatment providers, Insight, and the probation officers all meet to decide if you can be accepted into drug court. But once you are accepted into drug court, treatment court, it is at least a year that you are there, and you are monitored. Most wear ankle bracelets. They live at home. They have jobs. Many do. But they're monitored weekly, three times a week, drug tested and everything else. But also, when they do this, they plead guilty. So they are guilty.
Now, Claudia, are they called drug courts everywhere? If my teenager got in trouble, can I Google drug courts and find something in my local community? Or do they have different names? Do you know?
Most of them have the same name. It's usually drug court, drug treatment court. There's no fancy name.
Now, do you have any idea how do most areas have drug courts, or just a few areas?
Not anymore because of the funding. It used to be that most places did have it. The bigger communities, you know, have them. But a lot of the smaller communities don't anymore.
So in our area, we're blessed that we've got a drug court that's been reset up for Forsyth County, and that if somebody's in Forsyth County, they should consider at least investigating what a drug court is. Are you aware of any other drug courts in our state?
Yes, they're all over. I know Guilford County has one that's been up and running for a while. You know, Charlotte, the bigger areas all have theirs still. But they, of course, get more funding, local, community, statewide. And yeah, whoever's out there, if they don't take this opportunity, if they're struggling, they're missing a great opportunity.
Now, a lot of people that go through this situation don't have the money that a lot of other families do. Are the attorneys often pro bono, or?
We just have one. It's Carrie, mm-hmm, to represent them, and she represents them pro bono. But Phoenix Rising, our nonprofit, we are tasked with coming up with the money to run drug court, and that is $70,000 a year. And we have to have that money raised. And so, we have a matching grant from the city, but we have to raise they give us $35,000 if we raise $35,000.
So those families listening that have had some problems and have had some of their family that have had drug problems and gone through and gotten things all fixed up and are trying to figure out how they might help, they need to sort of look for areas in their neighborhood that they can make a difference and support a situation that can ruin a family.
And drug court is life-saving. Drug treatment court is life-saving. And I'm sure, Bill, you'll have it on the website, but please, please visit our website, phoenixrisingwinstonsalem.org, and our Facebook.
You spell Winston-Salem out?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I've got here for you, but yes, it's spelled like that. And then we have a Facebook page also, and it's continually updated.
Wonderful. Now, Gloria, you said you've been doing this 3 years now?
Well, the Lord laid it on my heart 3 years ago this August to start, and our first prayer circle was October 2015. We started every other month during the 2016 year, and then 2017 and 18, we do it every month.
Now, I know you get some officers out there. Can you share any of your interaction with the officers themselves?
Yeah, most of the time, some of the officers are in plain clothes. We don't know that they're there other than the fact that we recognize them when out of uniform. Mm-hmm. And some come in uniform and some not. They really are very supportive of it. And even when we have a small group, they'll always say, we really, really do appreciate y'all coming out. It means more than you realize. And that means a lot.
So, yeah, in your community, you might consider if a few of you, your Sunday school group, might like to go to the local police station and just take a little bit of time and pray for the officers in your community. And while you're there, pray about the different programs in your area. We'll be back in a moment. We all have stories. I think most everybody listening knows a family member or a neighbor or a good friend that has had a drug problem, and a lot of us have helped some other people through it. And Claudia is going to share her story with us this morning.
Thank you again for having me and the opportunity to do this. My daughter, Madison, who we call Maddie, struggled and battled with addiction for many years. She was 14 years old, sadly, and believe it or not, when it started. Again, she started with some prescription drugs that we got from the doctor for some surgery she had on her foot. And through the years, it just escalated to other things, and met a boyfriend who introduced her to heroin. Tragically and sadly, she lost that battle December 29th, 2016, to an accidental overdose. She was 22. Since her death, I have been determined to continue trying to help others through our own mission and my nonprofit, Maddie's Mission. And my nonprofit goes and supports Phoenix Rising because I believe deeply in that drug treatment court and what that can do. Madison was in and out of court for lots of drug-related kind of crimes, and she was not given that opportunity. And I'm convinced that if she had been given that opportunity, she might still be here today. So I encourage anybody who's struggling and has charges and goes through the court system to please seek out this program. It's life-changing. But unfortunately, like most things, can't do something without money. And if we don't get funding and we don't get donations, this kind of program won't exist. So if you want to help, this is a great way the community can help.
Yeah, I have a wonderful son. He did very well in high school. He was first chair cello for the county in middle school and high school, played sports. But the last half of his senior year, he got in with some friends that pulled him in a challenging direction. And there's a big thing in our area where all the kids go to Myrtle Beach for graduation. And he got down there and got caught underage drinking, and it was a $3,000 problem that had to be fixed. And I know a lot of families, a $3,000 problem can turn them on their head. I do a lot in the jail and the prison ministry. And, I can imagine that alcohol problem we discovered after 2 years could have really changed a lot of families. And I know that in our case, we had to hire rather expensive attorneys, but I know that if you can't afford that, you've got to go in and use public defender. And that can be, from the inmates I've talked to in the jail, just unbelievably frustrating because they've got very little time to spread among a whole lot of people. To have a drug court, to have somebody that can actually listen to your situation, that can help walk you through what's going on and explain to you what your options are, would just be a true blessing for some people. And I know my teenager teenagers have this really difficult problem of thinking nothing bad can happen to them. You know, the very best is going to happen in every one of these situations. And you need somebody skilled to talk to them.
And that is why drug treatment program is so wonderful. If you get accepted into it, because Carrie, the attorney that represents you, listens. She was a public defender, and that's why she started this. Because of the sentencing options, we're not working, we're not helping. But then you also work with Insight, a treatment provider. You work with the probation officer, and then the presiding judge, Lawrence Fine, is fantastic too. So it's a whole, I don't know how to explain it. It's like almost a treatment facility going through this.
Now, Gloria, you know lots and lots of officers. I know quite a few. There's some of the nicest, best people that I've ever met that really have a heart for their community and would like to see every single exchange that they have with somebody go in a good and wonderful direction. Can you share some of the conversations you've had with officers?
Well, I was just thinking as y'all were sharing about this drug situation is that, you know, there but for the grace of God go a lot of us. I mean, one decision away from being addicted to drugs. And discipline has a lot to do with it, I think, growing up and how you're raised and respect for those in authority. And I think the police that I've talked to, that what they want more than anything else, of course, is safety for themselves and safety for the men and women they come in contact with, and peace. I mean, they leave for work every morning and don't know if they're going to come home at night. I don't know too many people that go to work at 8 o'clock and worry if they're going to make it home alive at 5 o'clock or not, as opposed to the police. On my way here this morning, I passed, I think there's about 12 police cars on University Parkway. There was a terrible motorcycle accident. And that's terrible. And we think of how quickly life can be snuffed out, either by accident or by addiction or other things. And I think the police all want the public to feel safe in their presence, to feel free in their presence, to come to them, not afraid of them because they're going to do something bad, but to come to them in need. And I can't imagine having a job like that, where they put their lives on the line every day and they're not respected and they're not appreciated. And it's kind of scary.
Now, I would encourage everybody, when you see an officer, to take a moment and go up and thank them for what they do and let them know that they are appreciated, and that, you know, when they feel that way, then it's a lot easier for them to deal with some of the challenges that come before them. I remember seeing a stat one time that every year over 50,000 officers are assaulted in the United States. Very, very few of those exchanges go bad. But every one of those exchanges leaves a mark. So it's good for especially the listeners of this audience to remember that the officers need support and the officers need to know that they're appreciated. Now, part of the problem is that they know that when they pick somebody up and they've got to do something, that it's a life-changing event. And I've been at Samaritan running the kitchen and our soup kitchen and men's shelter. And a lot of times the officers will pick someone up and they'll take them somewhere other than jail to help them out. I think that just a few bad instances can change your life dramatically. Diane worked with a program that the jail and prison ministry set up called Prodigals. And she did tell a little bit about how somebody goes from Prodigals to the hospital, to the soup kitchen, to the jail.
Well, the way Prodigals worked, I was a director of Prodigals Community, and it was free. It was a long-term residential substance abuse recovery program. And you came to us, and if we had a bed, you could get in. And that is when they hit rock bottom, and they knew that they said, we're going to die. We've lost everything. And so it was amazing, the men that went through that program and how they worked it. And the key to that was, and so many are still in recovery today, was the long-term program there.
You know, it's amazing. You can have one small problem and it just cascades into a life-changing event. If you go in and you spend some time in jail and you get it in your head that you've just screwed up your entire life and that nobody's going to hire you and you've got absolutely no hope, you are causing your life to go in a direction it doesn't need to. Knowing that there are people out there that care for you and want good things to happen. When I go in the jail, I try to tell them, the day starts with you looking in the mirror at somebody that's chosen and holy and dearly loved by God, and that God wants really great things for you, and that the vast majority of the world wants really good things for you, your day goes different. But if you get a drug problem, you get arrested, you end up on the street, that's a mountain of problems that you've got to deal with to be able to get back to ground zero.
And that's how it was at Prodigals. I mean, just talking to the residents, telling them you can do this, being a cheerleader as much as anything else. And that is, again, what Phoenix Rising does through supporting Drug Court is we are the cheerleaders. That Drug Treatment Court program are the cheerleaders for those people that have lost hope.
Our soup kitchen has a program called Cornerstone, And in Cornerstone, if the men get in that, they've got a year and a half where they don't have to worry about the basic necessities of life, and they've got a Bible-based recovery program. They bat a 50% success rate, which is an astronomical number. And we've got something called Holly House, which is a program for women run by the YWCA, and they bat a 50% success rate. But there's almost no space in our area for women. Now, there's space for women with children, and there's some programs for men, but there's almost nowhere for some female that's got a drug, alcohol, or been beat up, or has a problem and needs a place to stay at night. They get arrested and they get in the system, they've got nowhere to go to get help. They've got nowhere to call to say, I need a lawyer.
True. And they end up a lot of times at homeless shelters. And of course, Samaritan is great for the men in the Cornerstone program. But Prodigals is no longer in existence. The funding went away, private donors. So that is no longer there. Phoenix Rising, we continue to evolve. And our next step is what we're working on right now is it's going to be called Phoenix Rising or whatever name it is. Someone wants to donate the money, we'll name it after them, but a clean and sober living house. So drug court participants during their time in drug court can live there in the clean living house.
So we need you to be praying for the people in your community that are fighting this problem. And we'll be back, talk about a couple other ways you can help. It's a pleasure to have some guests here talking about the police circle and praying for your local police department and talking about drug addiction in our communities. I think if you really prayerfully thought about it, there are lots of families you know at church. There are lots of neighbors. There are lots of people in your extended family that have had to deal with family members that have had a problem, made a mistake, taken things they shouldn't take, made a fool of themselves, got locked up. And if you can help folks in the beginning, that first time, instead of it turning into five or six or seven problems, our whole community is going to be better. It cost a fortune for people to stay in jail and to stay in prison. It cost a fortune for people to be in our hospitals and our mental health centers. And if we, in a caring and loving and Christian manner, can help people get through that first mistake quickly and to find help for their problems, that it will save our communities a great deal of money and it'll save our families a great deal of grief. I know in my family, I had problems. I'm an alcoholic and a drug addict that when my daughter came along and was born, I was able to get a grip on my situation, and God was able to help me with, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I have a wonderful son I have deep respect for who went through a period of his life where he needed a little bit of help. And the drug court seems to me an excellent way for families that have a problem with a member that's going through the early stages of drug addiction to be able to get a handle on it. And we want people in their communities to pray for those folks and to do what they can to help. Some of the ways that they can help might be?
Our awareness events and our fundraising events, we always need volunteers that can come out and support us in that way. You know, and since we're on this same topic about the jail, you know, people also need to realize, you know, jail doesn't solve and fix somebody who's addicted. That's why these treatment programs are so important, because sticking them in jail, yes, when they're in jail, they will be clean for that amount of time. But as soon as they come out, they still have the addiction problem. So that's where drug treatment court really plays a big part. You know, if somebody comes across somebody who is having an overdose or having some issues related to alcohol or drug problems and they're in need of help, I encourage you to please call 911. Stop, don't run. There's a law that protects you, the Good Samaritan law. So do the right thing, because you can save somebody's life.
Mm-hmm. I was driving by the hospital. I was working at the soup kitchen and was coming home, and there was some poor guy out trying to collect money right in the middle of the street, and he fell down. And the first thing I did was call 911 and say, you need to get somebody over there. There are all kinds of things we can do. I know my small group has I got a call from a good friend named Diane and said, I heard you aren't doing anything and got a lot of spare time on your hands. How about coming down and serving food to the homeless that are at the Bethesda Center? So I got my small group, and our church bought pizza and brought juice down and served and had a chance to share a good word with the folks. And yeah, there are things that we can do in our community. You are, most of this audience is connected to a Sunday school group, a church, a civic organization. They've got a group of folks at work that have a heart for Jesus. Yeah, Jesus expects us to put feet and hands and shoulders to our walk, and that we've got a responsibility, being a light on the hill in a time of refreshing, to actually go out and make a difference in our communities. And I think that we should work toward tithing our time, that we've got a responsibility to be in our communities and help those other groups of people that are trying to make a difference in the lives of those. We've got something called Holly House that I talked about earlier, and there are lots of different small groups that go in and help those ladies through all that they're going through. At the Samaritan, I try to get all the volunteers to sit and talk with the people and learn a couple names, because those, if you feel like you're a human being, that you feel like you're valuable, if you feel like your neighbors care for you, then it's a lot easier for you to reach out and accept the help that's there if it's there.
You're exactly right.
We've got to have groups that show that they care. And I love some of the stories about the drug court. Well, you shared something about the wonderful judge we've got and how he responds.
He is amazing. Before I'm not working at Bethesda now. Actually, Friday was my last day. I did some contract work with them for a fundraiser. But when I moved back to Winston in November and got involved with Phoenix Rising, I was going to drug court. It restarted December 1st, 2017. Phoenix Rising launched June 2017, and I wasn't back here, Claudia, Carrie, the board, all of them got it restarted. And so I started going to drug court, and I would sit with the participants. Judge Fine is amazing. He's personal. He's like Carrie, who's their attorney. When they have done great on the drug tests that the probation officers and Insight has given numerous times during the weeks, and they have met their curfews, he praises them. They give them incentives like gift certificates to restaurants, and Judge Fine always gets up and he either steps down or leans over and shakes their hand, and you can tell on their face just that little bit. Is what Bill was talking about when I volunteer at Samaritan, just that little bit of, you know, we're not any different. You know, you have this problem. Judges, anyone, teachers, attorney, anyone can have this. So Judge Fine is amazing. Just like Carrie is real with those participants, she's tough, but she is so compassionate.
You know, when the jail, when I'm talking to some of the inmates in there, some have a big chip on their shoulder, and they really think that if all the truth were known, they shouldn't be in there. That officer is bending the facts. Not that they didn't do something wrong. They almost all admit they're the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong, but the facts don't conform, and they think it's just not right that they got picked up. Pot should be legal. Why can't I walk around with it? If the right person talks to them before they go into court, if they can make them feel safer, if they can walk in thinking that instead of the whole world's out and there's absolutely no way this is going to work out in my favor, then you got a different spirit. And a judge that's there knowing that this might just be one mistake, that this might be a way to solve this problem, that what this person needs is some treatment, then the defendant, the person that did the wrong, comes across in a totally different way than that other judge that's just convicted 42 people for stealing or smashing a car or doing things. It's a different atmosphere.
It is. That kind of judge that you were talking about, it's rote. I mean, and that's, he's got 42 cases he's doing. But Judge Fine is there, and he makes it personal again. I mean, it is just that little bit that I saw. The 2 months I went to drug court twice a month, it was, or twice every other week. It was amazing. And again, Carrie, after drug court would be over, Carrie would then address the drug participants before they left. And she would give them either a great, wow, you did a great job this week, or, you know, seriously, you know, next week, you know, I'm going to come back here and you're not going to be here. And that works. I mean, she knows that, happens. And,
you know, a lot of people out there only have a contact with a police officer when something's gone wrong, or when they've been caught doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. And the officers feel that way too sometimes, that they feel like the only time they're talking to the public is when they're reprimanding them. But most of the officers I know have a great heart, and they really need to feel like the community's behind them. What do you see, Gloria?
I see the same thing when I go up to a police officer that's maybe at the, whatever he's doing, outside of his job, maybe at a restaurant having lunch. Mm-hmm. And I go up and just introduce myself and say, I just want to thank you so much for putting your life and time on the line. I appreciate your hard work, and you mean a lot mm-hmm. to the community, and we're praying for you. And you can tell how much they are really appreciative of that. And I did want to just touch base. When we pray at the police station once a month, I know people are praying every day, but you know, the group coming together is very powerful. But we also pray for the judicial system. We pray for the janitors. We pray for the equipment. We pray for the canines and the trainers and everything, and pay increases because a lot of policemen have to work two jobs, and that's very stressful. And we want the policemen to know that we're just not praying for mm-hmm. their protection, but for their whole family, that they can feel comfortable and confident to know that their loved one is bathed in prayer and surrounded by God's angels.
And I bet the prayer court gets on that list of things you're praying for in the future.
Yes, now, very much so.
If you've got friends and family and neighbors and you know that they're going through this, I would encourage you to Google drug courts and see if there's something in your area and let them know. Because in a lot of areas, you got to seek it out. It's not something that's just going to pop up as a possibility.
Or ask your attorney if you are convicted. Ask your attorney, and they will tell you if it's there, and then they will refer you.
Well, unfortunately, the public defender system's a little bit screwy.
Well, I mean, that's why Phoenix Rising started. I mean, because, mm-hmm. I mean, you ask your attorney about it, and...
You're saying ask your public defender about
sure.
it?
Sure. Okay. Yes, definitely. I mean, definitely. Carrie was a public defender, and she's in the courthouse all the time.
Well, you know, I often remember that Jesus had a story about folks that were supposed to think of him as the one that's in hell, need.
That's exactly right.
And that, you know, when we help the least of us, mm-hmm. that we're helping ourselves and we're helping our Savior. Pray for your community. We'll be back in a minute. We want to thank you for tuning in, and I hope you're learning some things. It's amazing to me the number of people that die from overdoses. Diane was sharing that we had more people die in 1 year than died in Vietnam. It's amazing to me that the people I see in the jail, the people I see in the prison, some of the people I see at our men's shelter, they look like your next-door neighbor. They look like your friend's child. I know that the kids I knew in college that had problems and didn't graduate and went through, and some of the kids that I've known in Winston-Salem that, you can't tell by looking at somebody whether they're a drug addict or whether they've got a problem. And the only thing I know is that if kids feel loved at home and that they know if they make a mistake that they always can go home, that helps a lot. But, you know, kids do stupid things. Adults do stupid things. We do things, then we look back and we try to figure out, yeah, how do I fix this? And I like to remember that Jesus said he came so that repentance and forgiveness of sins would be taught in his name. I like to remember that God said that he, for his own good, is willing to forgive our transgressions, that he will place them in the deepest part of the sea, that he'll put them behind his throne where nobody's allowed to go, that he will separate you from your transgressions as far as east is from west. And we've got to, as a community, we have to, as parents, we have to, as brothers and sisters, we have to be able to, in a loving and caring way, accept these people that have gotten, for whatever reason, into a really difficult situation, and we have to help them heal. And one way to do that is the drug court. And one way to do that is to let the police know that we support them and that we're behind them. And one way to do that is for us to get involved in our communities in ways that make a difference, that put a smile on Christ's face. And we've got to bring our friends and our neighbors and our small group and our churches along with us when we reach out in our community and we try to make it better. This drug court program, something that needs to be talked about and shared. We need to remember that when someone gets out of jail, when somebody gets out of prison, if they don't have a way to earn a living, then they're going to end up back in. And for the vast majority of those that served more than a year, when they get out, the vast majority of them can't find a way to make a living, and the vast majority of them end up back in the jail, costing us a fortune. I like to tell the guys I talk to, nobody wants you in here. We want you with a nice spouse, with great kids, a wonderful job, complaining about how much taxes you're paying. We don't want to pay for you to be in here. But a lot of folks get out. I tell them, if you don't know what to do when that phone rings and somebody says, what are you doing? You're going to make the giant mistake of saying nothing. And you're going to have no excuse but to be in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong friends. You know, it's the story about the three guys fishing in the river, and one of them starts heading toward the shore, and his buddies are yelling at him, you're scaring the fish. And after he gets the second shoe tied, he says, look out, there's a bear coming. And they say, you fool, you can't outrun a bear. He says, yeah, but I now outrun you too. You know, what type of people are you hanging around with when you're on the outside? Are they the people that get both their shoes tied before they tell you a problem's on you? Well, that's the group you fall into if you don't have a support network when you get out, if you don't have a job, if you don't have a way to earn a living. And, you know, one step of that is to have a drug court that's helping people, because they do more than just make sure it goes right in court. They're looking after those people after the gavel drops. Talk to them about what happens after the gavel drops.
Well, after they complete drug court, which, again, we've only been in session since December 1st, 2017, we are working Phoenix Rising again. We're expanding to work on the Clean Living Sober House. And then to continue on with the drug treatment plans for them through Insight, whatever treatment provider. We're not going to let them go. So that's so important.
You've got structured community service. It's not just saying go out there and find some way.
Oh, heck no. No, I mean, it is ridiculous that there's been one suggestion that you let people out of jail in this area and you give them something like methadone. And then you give them a list of treatment options to go to. And then that's it. That won't work.
The drug court program doesn't work with any community service?
Yeah, Insight.
Insight.
Mm-hmm,
okay.
Definitely.
So they've got a structured community service
program. Oh, definitely. Yes.
That's my point.
Yes.
That, yeah, a lot of the other systems, it's a hodgepodge if you end up going and spending time with people that are going to get you in worse situations than you were in to begin with. But with drug court, they're looking at you on a holistic level, and they're trying to make sure that while you're doing what you have to do,
that's so important. I mean, people that complete drug court, participants stay clean and out of jail usually nationally at least 2 years, and that's not the case. I mean, again, as Claudia said, you know, you go to jail for drugs, and you get out if you're an addict. And let me tell you, you're going to use, and I'm thinking you really want to use if you've been in jail for even 30 days if you're an addict. But no, the, what Phoenix Rising is doing through drug court, again, is it just is a continuum of that. I mean, care here. And it is so important. I mean, they Insight is there every court session. Curtis from Insight is there. The probation officer is there, as well as Carrie and the judge.
So instead of warehousing people, you're coming at it from a way to try and keep people from going back into jail again, which is unbelievably frugal for the rest of us. Is there anything else you'd like to share? You've met some other parents with similar stories. Maybe there's a similar story you'd like to share.
Sadly, I've met lots of families with this story because it, you know, I always say if you spread your arms wide, you're going to touch somebody that's affected by this. Maddie was straight A student, academically gifted, early college program, soccer player, goalie, not what you would think somebody addicted would look like and be. So we've just got to be, as a community, more humble, more understanding, help when you can, volunteer, donate to these groups, to the drug court. And be part of solving and helping with this epidemic and with families. It's a horrible struggle for the person who's addicted, but it is just as bad for the families to have to watch and feel useless and not be able to help in the way that, you know, you want to. Maddie was loved and had a huge family support. When she was found, she had the picture of the saint of addicts with her. We were Catholic. She believed in God. We were very religious. So it just goes to show you that it can affect anybody, anywhere. Love and help in your community and help us through Phoenix Rising, help others.
You know, it's important that when we go through a difficult time and we've got guilt attached to what's going on, whether in most cases, we've got no reason to hold the guilt, but we do. But to find ways to make a positive difference in the lives around us instead of hiding in our homes is important. One of the biggest problems I see in the jail and in the prison is if you only love yourself a fraction, then you can't believe anybody else loves you any more than you love yourself. If you don't respect yourself but a fraction, you can't believe anybody else respects you more than yourself. And it's a process. It's a process of learning how to forgive others, to learn how to forgive yourself, to learn how to love others more, to learn how to love yourself more. And all that together allows you to love God greater. And that you spiral up. It's a process. And that's something that's got to be taught. We've got to be a loving and caring community to the people we're related to, the people we live next to, the people we come in contact with. We've got to be in our community making a difference if we take our walk with Christ seriously. And if you hear God telling you that you need to get a group of friends and you need to go down to the police station on a Sunday and you need to stand there and pray for the officers in your community, you need to do that. If you're sitting there thinking about a relative of yours that's going through all kinds of problems on the other side of the country and you have absolutely no way to help them, there are people in your community that you can pick up the phone and you can call and say, you've got a recovery program there. I'd like to be helpful. You've got friends or neighbors or family that have gone through a court situation and it hasn't gone well or the results hadn't gone well. Maybe you need to Google drug courts and contact them and say, how can I be helpful? And in our area, the way to do that would be
Phoenix Rising. Go to Phoenix Rising. Googling drug courts might bring it up here, but do Phoenix Rising, and you'll see our website.
Winston-Salem Drug Court, Feezik?
No, it's just phoenixrisingwinstonsalem.org.
Okay.
And you're going to post that. And also, if anyone's listening and has a pen in this area, write down my telephone number, my personal telephone number.
Don't do that. Just contact Kingdom Pursuits and tell Robbie that you need to talk to Diane.
And I will talk to you at any time. And I just want to add what Bill was saying about Claudia's working with, well, my son who's doing the website, a searchable database where everyone can click in.
So you contact the station and Robbie will get the information where it will go. And keep it in your prayers. Pray for Phoenix Rising and the prayer circle in Winston-Salem's August 12th at 3 o'clock. Keep Gloria in your prayers too. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we hope you have an awesome week and that you experience God in a deeper and richer way in the future than you ever have in the past. Thank you.